was trying. I feel like I failed bad, miserably this morning. We was talking about faith and works. Really, that works is about faithfulness. And the evidence of faith in your heart is faithfulness in your life. Amen. I'm with Brother Tim. I don't understand. People say they're saved, but they can't get committed to anything about the work of God. There's something wrong with that. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, boy, I feel good tonight. Feel good in the Lord. And I'm thankful the Lord just kind of taking me back to the time and place where He changed my life and saved me. But after he saved my life, after that time and place was experienced, amen, He wanted to get me in church and He wanted to get me under a pastor. And if the Lord will help me, I want to kind of lead us in that way tonight. And Jeremiah chapter 3, stand with me if you would tonight in the house of the Lord. Don't forget now, we leave in here in just a little while and we run down to the preacher's house and have chili and chicken noodle soup and rolls. And if you like pumpkin pie, amen, you can have some pumpkin pie. Not pumpkin, pumpkin. Amen, it's pumpkin pie. Amen. And so you can have some out. And I mean, we got all sorts of things looking forward to it. But for the next just little while, I don't know quite how I'm going to preach this just yet. As far as style, we'll just let the Lord direct us. Notice with me in Jeremiah 3 and in verse number 6. The Bible said, "The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the lamp and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet, for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah." Y'all would agree with me. These are pretty serious things the Lord's is saying about His very own people. The Bible said, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful." Somebody ought to say amen right there. "For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, and thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." Verse 15, "Jair seed thought tonight, where God said, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." They were in a mess. They were in trouble. They had gone far from God. But God said that the day you began to return and you began to set your face toward the Lord, He said, "What I'm going to do, I'm going to give you pastors after mine own heart. And they're not going to show up to be your buddy and to be your pal and to pat you on the back and to get you in further trouble, but they're going to feed you with knowledge and with understanding." And so I want to preach for a little while this evening and just kind of work through this on the subject, why God gave you a pastor. Why God gave you a pastor. I'll be honest, you can be seated this evening. I'll be honest with you, this is one of those things it'd be easier to teach or preach if I wasn't the pastor and the very folk that I'm preaching and teaching to tonight. But it's what God has laid on our heart tonight and what God has laid on our heart to emphasize in days to come. I'm thankful for Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. I'm thankful to be a member of it. I'm thankful to be the pastor of this great work and this great church. And I'm thankful that God has counted me worthy and put me in the ministry right here in Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. When I say I'm a member of this church, and when I tell folk in the community that I'm the pastor at Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, I don't hang my head in shame. I don't have friends try to skirt out of it. It doesn't mumble out of my breath. In fact, last night, my wife and I was buying the groceries for what we're going to eat here in a little while, and we was at Walmart, and I handed the lady that tax-exempt card, and it said Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, and she looked at it, and she punched it in, she looked back, and she looked up, and she said, "Are you the new pastor at Calvary Baptist Tabernacle?" And my friend, my heart swelled up with a little bit of pride. I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." And she said, "I heard that they had a new pastor down there." And she said, I've heard you on the radio. And she said, "I know some of the folk that are down there at Calvary." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do too. And most of them's real good people." Amen. And we began to talk. And what I'm trying to say tonight is, amen, God's design in this world after you get saved is that you get in an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Bible preaching, amen, Baptist church that has a pastor that'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. And you begin to study the Word of God, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that the title pastor or pastors plural is only used 9 times in your King James Bible. And when I studied that some time ago, that struck me as odd, because we know that the ministry and the office and the responsibility of a pastor in our life is very important, but that title is only mentioned 9 times in the Word of God. Here's what you'll find. At 8 of those 9 times, it's mentioned specifically in the book of Jeremiah. Only 1 time is it mentioned in the book in the New Testament, and we studied in a moment in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 4. And so tonight we're going to look on why God gave you a pastor. We're going to look in this ministry tonight. And I'm not preaching in parables tonight. Amen. I've got no agenda tonight. Listen, y'all been good to me. And I hope you think I've been good to you. I've got no axe to grind. I'm not preaching about the past. I'm preaching the Word of God tonight. And I want to deal with this subject, why God gave you a pastor. And so tonight, I think we're going to understand it. There'd be no greater place to go to than where it's mentioned 8 out of the 9 times that it's mentioned in the Word of God, and study what Jeremiah said about the pastor. Understand this tonight, that the word pastor literally means to tend the flock and to pasture it. It's no coincidence that the word pasture and the word pastor, the title pastor, have friends seem like one and the same. The word pastor literally means that a man is tending to a flock. It's as if, my friend, it's as if, amen, he is pastoring and overseeing a flock of sheep. The word pastor, the title pastor, it means to graze, to lead, my friend, into the realm of a pasture where the flock can graze and be fed and have their needs sustained. The word pastor literally means this. It means to rule. And again, I say that's one of the Bible definitions when the New Testament speaks in the office of a pastor, using the term elder or the term bishop. And my friend, it talks about obeying them and have the rule over you. And so, my friend, the pastor is somebody that has the oversight and the rule, amen, of the ministry. Understand that the word pastor is the same word that's translated in your King James Bible and other places as that title of shepherd. You remember that the Bible spoke of the chief shepherd, that being the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it speaks of under shepherds, that being those men that God uses under Christ in an earthly realm and in an earthly sense of ministry to lead and to guide and to tend to the flock.
flock of the chief shepherd. We'll see it in a moment when we talk about a pastor or a shepherd. We understand that it's not his flock, it's the Lord's flock. And he's been given the responsibility and the task and the ministry of serving the Lord's sheep. And it should be noted tonight that the Old Testament of pastors that Jeremiah deals with, and that it has very direct connotations to that of civil or political leaders when Jeremiah speaks, and we'll see it here in a moment tonight. But most of the time when he's speaking of pastors or a pastor, he's dealing with that governmental leader, be it that of a king or of a governor. We would call it a president or a senator or a congressman, and they were the civil leaders and political leaders of their day. Notice with me that Jeremiah, look with me in chapter 17, and Jeremiah changed the definition of this word or the application of it, and made a spiritual connection of his very own ministry. Notice that it's used in application to a spiritual authority about Jeremiah, even of himself, here in Jeremiah 17 and in verse number 6. The Bible said, "As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee," speaking to the Lord. He said, Lord, he said, they're wondering, if you look in the previous verse, amen, his generation was saying to it, "Where is the word of the Lord? And it come now." And so they were saying, "Well, you're saying you're from God. You're saying there's a word from the Lord." And they're saying, "Where is it? Let's hear it." And Jeremiah, after several years of preaching, after several years of being raised to be a spiritual authority, looks to God and said, "Lord, you know that I have not hastened from being the pastor that you've called me to be. Lord, I'm not one of these hirelings. I'm not like these civil and political pastors that are about their own business and about lording over the people." He said, "I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee." And I say that's the pastor's job, as my friend, to follow the Lord. And so Jeremiah, my friend, changes the application of this from a political sense to that of a spiritual sense, and the pastor, my friend, is to follow the Lord. And so what Jeremiah saw in civil leaders over the people politically, he saw, my friend, and considered himself to be unto them spiritually. And can I say that that's what a pastor is? He's over your spiritual life. He's, my friend, has been given you, we'll see in a moment, and he's been given to you by God to guide and direct and lead, my friend, your spiritual life. How does he do that? He can't do it if he doesn't follow the Lord. He can't follow the crowd. He can't put his finger in the wind. He can't take a vote. And there are pastors in our day and in our generation, so-called pastors, can I put it that way? And my friend, they send out surveys to the congregation and find out from the congregation, what do you want to hear preached on? What do you want to, what direction do you want the church to go in? And Jeremiah said, "I'm not hastened up from being the pastor that you've called me to be, because I still follow the Lord." And I say to that, and it's not your business to be, amen, telling the pastor what to do. It's not your business tonight, my friend, to be poking and prodding and my friend urging the pastor to go in a direction. Now you know my heart tonight, amen. I try to keep an open door policy, and your concerns, I want them to be my concerns. But tonight you got to understand that a God called, God placed pastor, amen, must be what it follows God and not men. Amen. We got too many men and are worried about losing somebody in their church that they've quit pastoring the way God wants them to pastor. Amen. They're afraid to upset a deacon board. Now, amen, after a year of pastoring a church without one, I'm glad we ain't got none. Amen. I had my fill of that and didn't even realize how bad this is choking me out in my first terms. But, amen, there's a lot of pastors. They're afraid that the deacons are going to get mad at them. They're afraid Sister Wigglejaws in the church is going to say something and get on the phone and say nasty things about the pastor. And so they cow down in my friend. Instead of following God, they have hastened from being a pastor, and that they're following men more than they are God. Amen. Amen. Are we all right? Listen, I bend over backwards. I told a member of our church even not long ago, they were sharing some things, and Brother Dean was with me. Brother Dean heard me saying, and I said, look, I'll bend over backwards to make you happy. I really do want you to be pleased with your church. But I ain't going to follow you and not follow God. Amen. If you're going to push me the place, amen, where I got to make up the decision, am I going to follow, amen, some member who ain't ever pastored a tater patch, or am I going to follow God? I promise you, amen, by the grace and help of God, I'm going to follow the Lord. A pastor is one that, according to Jeremiah, said, I'm not hastening from being what you have called me to be, and being a pastor, a spiritual authority over the people of God, in that I follow after the Lord. Amen. This is the function of a pastor. Even in the age of the church, according, if you look in Ephesians 4 this evening for just a moment, I promise you I'll not expound on all of this. I could and maybe ought to tonight, but in Ephesians 4, you say, Pastor, why are you doing this? There's several reasons I feel like the Lord is giving me some insight on doing this month, on emphasizing the relationship between pastor and people and people and pastor. Number one, we coming up on a year of me being your pastor. Amen. And thank God, I don't even know that we've had a honeymoon. It's just been real good. Amen. And I don't want it to end. If it ends, then all it was a honeymoon. But, amen, if we can just keep on for the glory of God, amen, in days and months and years to come, then, amen, it'll just be Babel. Amen. And so we understand we're coming up on a year of being here, and the Lord saved some folk, and the Lord, my friend, has added the church. We have people here tonight that they're praying sincerely about being a part of our church. I think it's important that whether you've been saved and around here a long time, amen, or you just got saved and joined the church and you're praying about being here, understanding that, amen, what Pastor Jeff sees from the Word of God about your need for a pastor in your life. It's important you understand it. Amen. Notice what the Bible said, Ephesians 4 and verse 11. The Bible said, and he, speaking of Christ, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some what? Pastors and teachers. In other words, Christ has given some things. God, he's given, we'll see in just a moment, some gifts. And among them gifts that he gave to the church, he gave some pastors. Notice why we see what he gave in verse 11, but consider, my friend, for what intent or what purpose did he give them? The Bible said, for the perfecting of the saints, or the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Can I say, at the pastor in this age of grace, the age of the church, he has three reasons why that he's been given to the church, and that is, amen, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. Saints of God. You'll never be perfected and have a perfecting work in the grace of God in your life apart from the ministry of a pastor. You better watch this crowd that says, I don't need a pastor. And listen, I'm for sincerely seeking God and I just ain't going to be a part of any old church. In fact, the first thing I want to get settled on when I'm considering a church is, what kind of man do they have for a pastor? Amen. I ain't going down there to some little limp-wristed, noodle-back, gutless, spineless, amen, perm-haired, wearing lace on his underwear man. Ain't going to be my pastor. Amen. I got to have somebody look me eyeball to eyeball and say, here's what God said, and grow me and mature me in the things of God. Amen. Is that right? And so the perfecting of the saints. And then he said, for the work of the ministry. It is, my friend, for the operation of the church. Amen. Listen, we don't need a board for this, and a flyer board, and a deacon board, and, amen, and a cleaning board. And, amen. We'll, amen. 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 All we got's one board, and it's called the Bible. Amen. And the work in the ministry. Listen, a lot of churches are suffering today. And they can do it the way they want to do it. But a lot of them are suffering today because they're bored to death. God didn't give us boards to run the church. He gave a pastor for the work of the ministry. Wise is the pastor that will allow people to come in and be a part of his ministry and help him. But at the end of the day, it's on the pastor's shoulders to make sure the work of the ministry is done and accomplished. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, hang with me now. Amen. Notice what he said, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The building up of the body, the encouraging of the body, the exhortation of the body. Amen. A pastor is given to the church by Christ. Lord, I said I wasn't going to expound on it, and I am. Amen. That edifying of the body of Christ. Notice when I can't park here. Amen. Notice how long that you need to have a pastor. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. You say, how long do I need a pastor? You need a pastor till you go home to meet the Lord. Until you've been perfected, you need a pastor. And you're not going to be perfected. Now you can be being perfected. Amen. Being perfected. There can be a perfecting work going on, an ongoing work in your life tonight. And then again next week. And again next year. But my friend, you'll need a pastor in your life until the day that you're made in the very fullness of the stature of the image of the darling Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't understand. And again, I'm for folk minding God and following God. And sometimes it takes a while to make sure you're settled. You can't just get in any old under any old preacher's ministry. Is that right? Amen. But I'll be honest with you, I don't understand folk that come, and don't get mad at me, but I don't understand folk that come to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle and won't join up. You say, well, Brother Jeff's my pastor. Brother Jeff ain't your pastor unless you've joined Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. Amen. And surely after a year, you'd think folk could say, okay, I'll settle in and get in there. Is that right? Amen. Listen, I'm not shooting at nobody. I'm just telling you, you got to have a pastor. You can't be what you ought to be without a pastor. And I'll show you why God gave it in just a moment. Hang with me now. God, help us. Amen. That we henceforth. Listen, this is why God gave you a pastor. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In other words, a pastor is a barrier, amen, to you getting drug off into false doctrine and getting drug off into sin and being drug off into the world. A pastor stands as a barrier, amen, to your life being messed up. Amen. Notice what he said in verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, of whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, at that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Pastor in the church age. An age of grace, a pastor's given to a church to teach you the truth in love. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. According to Ephesians 4, you're right there. Look back again in verse number 8. Wherefore he saith, speaking of Christ, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Listen to me. Gave gifts unto men. In other words, the Bible is teaching that there are things that Christ gave. When my friend, after he went to Calvary, and after that, he ascended into the belly of hell and conquered death and the grave and conquered hell. Amen. He led captivity captive. Amen. And came back. Amen. And gave to his church some gifts. What are the gifts? The gift is a pastor. We're not in the apostles and prophet age of the church. Amen. Them done passed off. You watch this crowd that on their church they have pastor, apostle, prophet, Susie somebody. Amen. That ain't what God gave. That ain't what Christ gave. Christ gives pastors in this hour that you and I are living in. We're under the evangelist, pastors, and teachers age. Amen. Glory to God. Would you agree with me? A pastor's a gift. Notice with me, this bears out. I'm moving slow, and once I get where I want to be, we'll be done. But, amen, hang with me now. It's only 8 o'clock, okay? Notice with me, Jeremiah 3, what God said in verse 15. I will what? Give. I'm going to give you a pastor. I'm going to give you men that are going to have my heart. They're going to be men according to my heart. They're going to be more interested in what I think and in what you think. They're going to be more interested in pleasing God than pleasing men. I'm going to give you pastors according to my own heart. What am I saying? I'm saying tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, a pastor is God's specific gift to your life. What is God giving? What are some of the gifts that God has given? When you think about it, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God's gift to you tonight is His own Son. God's gift tonight, we could say, is the grace of God. And we shout over them things. We shout over the fact that God gave His Son and that God is giving grace and God is giving mercy and God is giving blessings. But in the midst of all the things that God has given, don't overlook the fact that God gave you a gift in a pastor. Amen. You say you're trying to pump yourself up. God knows my heart ain't. I'm telling you the Word of God tonight, and if I preach it in Goldsboro, bless God, I'll preach it up here. Amen. Listen, I told y'all the other day, I ain't going to go hire some gunslinger come in here and do the preaching of the Bible that I don't want to do myself. Amen. I may not like it, and I'll be tore up on that thinking, man, I hope they didn't take that wrong or this wrong. Amen. But God said, get up and tell them why God gave them a pastor. If God's gift to the church tonight is giving them a pastor, He could have gave you a monkey to entertain you. Amen. He could have gave anything, but what did He give? He gave you a pastor. Am I right? God gives men and families a pastor. Here's my question tonight. Why? Why does God give a pastor? Why did God say in the book of Jeremiah chapter number 3, Brother L, why did God say, I will give you pastors according to my own heart? Amen. The big mess that they're in, they've gone astray from God. They don't know, they don't listen. God said over and over and over in the verses we read, He said it's backslidden Israel. It's treacherous Judah. They've gone astray. They've committed adultery and whoredom. And they're playing the part of a harlot. God is saying that you're in a mess. One of the ways I'm going to help straighten you out is I will give you pastors. Why? Amen. Notice with me tonight, it's important to understand the connection between the people of God in Jeremiah's day and the pastors that they had. Why are they in the mess they're in? They're in the mess they're in because of the pastors they've taken to themselves. You've heard the statement, and it is absolutely true, not 100% of the time, but just about 100% of the time. As goes the leadership, so goes the crowd.
Everything, was it Lee Robertson that was quoted saying everything rises and falls on leadership? My friend, that may not always be the case. There may be exceptions to that rule, but by and large, as is leadership, so will be the laity. My friend, they were in the mess they were in because of the pastors that they had. What kind of pastors did they have? Notice this. Will you follow along with me? Will you bear with me for just a little while? Come on now. Hang with me. I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to get to why God gave us a pastor. Notice what kind of pastor God didn't give us. What God is telling them in Jeremiah 3, I'm going to give you pastors that are different than the pastors you elected, the pastors you chose, the pastors you wanted. I'm going to give you pastors according to my heart. Why? Because the pastors they had chosen, the pastors, and it got them in the mess that they were in. Number one, they were deceiving God's people. If you will, look back with me one chapter, Jeremiah 2 and in verse number 8. Oh, dear God, help me. I may have to split this up. Amen. Are y'all with me now? Don't look at me cross-eyed. Amen. I'll come back and sit in your lap, okay? Amen. Don't look at me cross-eyed tonight. They were pastors that were deceiving God's people. Oh, just with me, Jeremiah 2 and in verse number 8. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. Notice this, the pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal. And notice what God says in the end of this verse about the priests and the pastors and the prophets. And Babel said, and walked after things that do not profit. In other words, what the spiritual leadership they had taken as their own pastors in Jeremiah's day, God said they don't ever give you anything that is worthwhile. They don't give you anything that is profit. All they're interested in is preaching about Baal. Amen. They don't know how to handle the Word of God. They don't know how to live right themselves. They are deceived, and in being deceived, they are pastors that are deceiving God's people. Would you agree with me, by and large, if you know anything about church in our day and other churches apart from our own, you understand tonight most churches are being deceived by the men that are in the pulpit. God help us to have a revival in America of real manhood, amen, real manliness back in the office of pastor again. Men that stand up and say, I hate that you're not going to like it, but here's what God said. I hate that it's going to upset your apple cart, but I'm not going to deceive you, and I'm not going to say peace when there is no peace. Here's what God said about it, and I can't help that it flips your apple cart over, that you're living in sin and you need to get right with God. That there are mamby-pamby, limp-wristed pastors all over our land that are elevated and uplifted, and they're nothing more than prophets and pastors of deception. Amen. A pastor that won't tell you the truth is a deceiver. A pastor that won't look you eyeball to eyeball and say, here's what God said, walk in it and live in it and speak the truth, but speak it in love. Amen. Is a deceiver. He's not a true pastor of God. Amen. Amen. That goes for Billy Graham, Joe Osteen. Amen. And y'all know God ain't ever called a woman to be a pastor. Amen. Let me say that again. Y'all know God ain't ever called a woman to be a pastor. He ain't even called a woman to be a co-pastor. Hey, man. Hey, man. Hey, man. You say, oh, my grandma, she goes down there and they got Pastor John and co-pastor Susie. Amen. Oh, Tony Hudson would say, my hind leg. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Ain't no such thing. God gives a man to oversee the ministry, and it's his job to lead and direct and stand in the gap and intercede and speak the truth and not be a deceiver. You said, but I read her book, old Bulldog Myers.
Amen. Old Bulldog Myers, I read her book. They say, I read her book, and it really spoke to my heart. You listen real good and well. She's a false prophet and a deceiver, not sent from God. Whoa. Amen. I'm so anti-co-pastor, women pastor, and amen. And in our Baptist churches, we got pastors' wives pastoring women, and the pastor pastors the men. That ain't from God. You got one pastor, and his name ain't yours. Amen. His name ain't yours. His name is Ledbetter. Jeff, in case you is confused. Amen. He give you one pastor. And he's the pastor over the men, and he's the pastor over the women, and he's the pastor over the children. Amen. Ain't we having a time? Ain't nothing wrong with the pastor getting men to come in and as the church grows to help him in the work part of the ministry. But at the end of the day, amen, God gives a church and every member of that church, regardless of gender, regardless of race, regardless of background, He gives them a pastor to lead them, and anything else is deception. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. I'm so anti all this, I feel like preaching. Amen. Deceivers in our day. Amen. Deceivers in our day. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I've got a real problem with women who won't let a man be their pastor. You run off some women's conference and let some woman tell you how to live your life, and then the pastor gets up, tries to tell you from the Word of God, and you buck it. You know what that old big mouth woman at the conference is? She's a deceiver. Everybody all right? Amen. And I'm speaking about Francis and the rest of them that get hundreds in over there in North Carolina. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. You might as well say, man, and everybody runs all out over the country. Man, I learned so much. If you'd sit down and open your ear and let a pastor you, you'd be amazed what you'd learn. Glory to God. Amen. Everybody okay? Everybody know where to stand on it? God gave you one pastor. Amen. He's a man, and he's not to be a deceiver. Anything else, anything regardless of gender, amen, regardless of gender, if he don't tell you the truth in love, he's a false prophet. That's what was going on in Jeremiah's day. They didn't know the Lord. That crowd that was trying to be in that role of spiritual leadership, God said Himself, they that handle the Word of God, they don't even know how to live it themselves. Deceivers. I wouldn't listen to a man that preached one thing and then lived another. Amen. I'll tell you this, the pastor you got now ain't quite as strong as the one you used to have, but a live or to preach. You might as well say, man. Now, we're pretty close on it. You might as well say, man, I ain't so different. Y'all need to go getting excited about it. We're pretty close. There's some things, amen, I don't see nothing wrong with. I watch football on Saturday. Amen. And enjoy church on Sunday after I do. Y'all might as well look on up in here. It ain't praying time. But I tell you this, I live what I preach. And I wouldn't let no man be my pastor that told me how to raise my young'uns and then wouldn't raise his own that way. I wouldn't let a man tell me how to dress and then when he went on vacation got on some cruise and throwed his Bermuda shorts on. Hallelujah. You know what that is? That's deception. That's deception. God said, they tell you one thing, but they themselves live in transgression. Y'all might as well smile. This is going to be 2 or 3 weeks long. They were deceiving God's people. Number two, hang with me, and I'm preaching myself. I don't want to be a deceiver. Amen. Watch this. Number two, they were devouring God's people.
Notice with me, I want to show you a verse this evening. I believe it's in chapter number 10, if I'm not mistaken. Jeremiah chapter number 10 and in verse number 21. Amen. I promise I'm going to be done in a minute. It'll just be a baloney message. All right, we'll cut it off and put it away and eat it again some other time. Notice what he said in chapter 10 and in verse number 21. The Bible said, Lord have mercy. For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. I believe in that first part of the verse, I believe that the Lord is indicting them with two things, and you can't separate the first from the second. They've quit seeking the Lord, and so because they've not sought the Lord, now they've become brutish men that are trying to pastor God's people. Notice what the Bible said. The Bible said, therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. I want to make a statement tonight that God, in giving a church a pastor, He doesn't give a man to be a pastor to a church to be their Savior, to be their Lord, or to be their God. You already have three. You already have all three in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave you a man to be your pastor. And God said, the problem I have in Jeremiah's generation is that the pastors are become brutish. The word brutish means to consume by fire eating, to devour, to consume the congregation. The word brutish means to treat with roughness or cruelty. Now look on up in here, telling you the truth ain't cruel. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth of what? Make you free. You got to have truth. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm saddened as a young preacher, a young pastor. I'm still 35 years old. I'm going to be around here long enough to bury most of y'all. You listen, unless Jesus comes. And then Jordan will pastor it. But you listen to me. A pastor ought to be a man. He ought to have a backbone. He ought to be willing to look you and your youngins and your, amen, your devilish ways eyeball to eyeball and say, this is not right. But he ought to do so without being cruel and without chafing the congregation. Whoa! Are you listening? He's to speak the truth, Paul said, but he's to do it in love. I'll be honest, when you're preaching on sin and you know what's in the congregation and you know what's in people's lives, amen, sometimes you start getting hot, amen, real close to nerves. And some people, you could say it with a smile on your face or a tear running down your cheek, and just because you get in their business, they're going to take it the wrong way. But there's a generation of pastors that have been raised up in America that are devouring God's people, and God never intended for it to be that way. In fact, God said when a man gets to the place where he begins to mistreat and get rough and cruel with God's people, God said it. I didn't say it. God said, that man's done. He will not prosper and his flock will be scattered. Pastors to be somebody that loves you enough to look them in the eye, John, and say, you're wrong. Kind of like what old Paul did the church at Galatia when he said, what you doing, you're wrong. You've been bewitched. Who's bewitched you? What's hindered you? And then they got mad at him, and he had to write to them and say, what? Am I now therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about devouring and consuming and treating with cruelty and roughness is not the will of God for a pastor to do that to his flock. Are we right? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And there are men today in pulpits across our land, men that I know, that had run off to the next preacher's meeting and stand up and brag about how they beat their flock on today. They'll be in meetings tomorrow bragging on the message they preach and how they nailed somebody's hide to the wall. You listen to me good and well, that is a sick, sick individual. Amen. They brag about how they beat the sheep. Show me one passage in the Bible where a shepherd ever beat his sheep. What Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "I love you." He said, "Feed them." Not beat them, feed them. Not slap them around, not pin their hide to the wall. Oh, sometimes you got to shear them. And sometimes you got to shear them on down pretty close. Are we okay? Some of y'all's mad at me now. Hang with me. It's the will of God that a pastor shear you every now and then. Old Lee Davis said that the shepherd only sheared them once a year in Jewish times. I've been guilty. Come on now, can I be honest? Let me be Brother Will. Y'all be the Pope now. Let me make my confession. There's been times I've sheared them on down real close and bloodied them up time and time again, more than was necessary. And you know what it does? It makes the sheep cold. It makes them cold, amen, and makes them distant. God said, my problem with the pastors of Jeremiah's day, they're brutish men devouring the people of God. Amen. Watch this now. I don't want to be that kind of pastor. And you ought not want that kind of pastor. And here's where I'm going with this message. You ought to pray constantly for your pastor. God, Let him stay according to thine heart. Don't let him become like the trends and the way things are going maybe in other places. Let our pastor stay in love with God and in love with us so he can lead us in the things of God. Lord, I'm not even halfway done. Everybody okay? They were deceiving God's people. They were devouring God's people. Chapter 12, look across the page. I'm about done. I'll just stop in four more minutes. Is that fair? Amen. All right. Y'all don't care. Jeremiah 12, I'll just keep preaching then. Bible said, verse 10, many pastors have what? Destroyed my vineyards. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man, he's speaking of pastors, because no man layeth it to heart. I'm done on this point. What was God's problem? Why had Israel gotten the place they got? Because they had taken to themselves pastors that they wanted. And they become brutish men. They become deceivers. They become devourers. But they become people that was destroying God's vineyard. What were they doing? The way God describes this through Jeremiah is they were trotting it underfoot. They kept stomping on it. And notice what God said. God said, I tell you what they forgot. They forgot that was my vineyard. They forgot that was my portion. I put them in it to lead it and to guide it and to pasture it and to tend to it and to feed it and to rule over it. But he said, they forgot who it belonged to. I can prove that in that last phrase, that last verse. He said, it's got the place where it's all desolate and the people are mourning. And he said, the reason is no man's laid it to heart. They forgot in their heart it wasn't their people. It was God's people. Why do pastors destroy churches and deacons, bless their heart, they get a bad rap sometimes. I know as many pastors that have destroyed churches as deacons have. And that we ain't going to have them. Well, I tell you this, when we get about 3,000, we'll think about it. All right? When we get about 3,000 members, then we'll think about it. But watch this. Why do they destroy churches? Why do pastors destroy churches? Because they get the mentality, it's my church. It ain't my church. And I understand the vernacular we use when we talk about so-and-so's church, pastor so-and-so's church. We understand what that means, but I'm afraid that it's doing something. It's doing something in our day in the mentality where men begin to rise up and say, you know what, this is my church. You ain't my people. You're His people. You're not my flock. You're His flock that God said, let better, you're going to go down there and you're going to go up on that mountain and you're going to be the pastor of my people and lead them until I come. Am I right? Believe I'm right. It ain't a pastor's job to destroy. Did you catch what the Lord said? He said when they got it, it was pleasant portion. It was a vineyard full of grapes. It was something useful, He said. And then when they got done with it, they had so kicked it and stomped it and trampled it underfoot that it laid there and mourned to God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you say, I want a pastor that'll rip my hide up. I want a pastor that'll beat on me. You're a sick individual. Amen. You'll fit in well with that old sadistic crowd. Amen. You go find you some weirdo out there to be your pastor. Amen. They put people in prison who enjoy, amen, too much pain inflicted on them. Amen. There's times I need a pastor rear back and smack me right in my mouth. There's times I need that, but I don't want it every week, praise God. Amen. Don't destroy, as church members, don't destroy what God's given us. And I'll make the promise to you, by the grace of God, we'll try to leave what God has given us as a pleasant portion. All these years, God's had a good, pleasant place. Got a place you could be able to come and hear the Word of God. I don't know about the pastors. Brother Ronnie's told me a little bit about the pastors before Preacher Wells. Far as I know, God's been good to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle to give them good pastors. Is that right? I believe that's right. I don't know the ones come before Preacher Wells, but I know you had a good pastor. And you got one now trying to be a good pastor. God didn't give him to go stomping everybody's guts out. You say, oh, so-and-so, preacher needs to deal with that. Won't you let God let him deal with that? Amen. It ain't the pastor's job to go stomping everybody. Amen. And I don't want to be one of these preachers that has to get up and fuss at everybody. You either do it or you won't. All I can do is lead you. If I got to make you feel bad to do it, I don't want you to do it. Amen. And there, amen, amen. I got to quit. It's cut off. Father, help us tonight. I sure do thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing here. Lord, tried to preach our heart and what you put in our heart. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now this evening to live it all. Lord, I understand. Lord, we didn't even get to, Lord, some of the main things we wanted to cover. But, Lord, I understand that, Lord, what you've called us to do here and what you placed us here to do is no light thing. It's no easy thing. It's not any simple thing. That, Father, the job that lies on our shoulders is very heavy and very important. And, Father, we need your help to be the pastor that you need us to be. And Lord, I'm not preaching this. You know my heart, Lord. You told me to preach it. Lord, I'm not preaching it, Lord, to build any kind of name or any kind of kingdom or any kind of following after my own name. Lord, these are your people. And Father, Lord, I pray that you would burn it in their heart, Lord, to pray for their pastor every day, that, Lord, we'd be the right kind of pastor. Lord, I don't want to be a deceiver. Lord, I don't want to be somebody, Lord, that devours what you've given here. Lord, I don't want to be somebody that treads it underfoot and tramples and takes for granted and just assumes that it's mine when in fact it's yours. Lord, I don't want to disperse it. Lord, I don't want to drive it away. Lord, I want it to be everything that you want it to be when you return to call us home. And Father, Lord, we need your help as a pastor sent here from you. Lord, I need your help. And Father, this congregation, as you give them our ministry to help them, they need your help. Father, I pray, Lord, in the days to come, you just bind us together in unity and in love for one another, that, Lord, we could be everything you'd have us to be. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.